All right, saints, I want to share some things with you. First is an article we called Red Sea is Taking Down Pharaoh's Army. I don't perceive this is going to be a quick snap thing and it's over. I perceive it's going to take a little longer. But it's still in the workings and in the happenings, and we'll just continue to fight on in the name of Jesus. This was given to Eve Brass on the 19th. She said, "This might sound crazy, but I had an open vision while driving to work this morning. I don't know how I kept driving or how I stayed on the road." Yeah, a lot of people have had that experience. It's like the angel takes over, and while you get to watch the video. It must have happened so quickly, or Father slowed down the time. I can't explain it. It was like a dream, but my eyes were open. I was looking at the road, and suddenly I was in David's living room up on the mountain, standing a little in front of the fish table that Pamela keeps there, and looking at Matthew. He was standing and facing me with Anna. Anna means, in Hebrew, it's Hannah in Hebrew, and it means favor or grace. And I believe she's representing UBM here. And facing me with Anna, standing a little behind me in front of the maroon Bible study chair in the corner. She was wearing a maroon knit dress, I believe representing a walk that is washed in the blood, and a long white coat, probably representing putting on the purity and the righteousness of Christ, with a scarf around her neck. She was full term in her pregnancy. Well, since we've seen this pregnancy as a type of the man-child, that could mean we're very close, right? And I believe that UBM is ready to bring forth its portion of the man-child, like the revelation we got the other day of 144,441 on Kurt's odometer. Yeah, meeting at a point here, you know. She and Matthew both had their hands clasped together like when praying, and they were both smiling, and their faces were glowing with joy. And I have to say, I believe this represents a people, a group of people here, you know. Matthew's face was red, like he had been out in the sun for a while. I could hear Matthew talking to Kurt, who was next to the wood-burning stove, and he said, "Anna always stands now. She never sits down. Because once, when she sat down, things didn't turn out so good for her. So now she stands all the time." And Kurt kept nodding his head as he pondered what Matt was telling him, and then asked him a question about Anna. Well, my feeling is that for us to sit down now would be resting in the flesh, and it would cost us dearly. God wants the bride to fight on. Pharaoh is out, but he and his army of invaders are still fighting, although the criminal press is not covering it, just like they didn't cover the anarchy while Obama was in office. You know, yes, there were, you know, rioters, windows smashed, cars burnt, cops attacked. You know, none of these people are democratic. You know, they don't believe in the Constitution. They're lawbreakers. They should go to jail. Anyway, I believe the Reds need to continue to take out the Blues through prayer, just like it was with the red voting map. You know, when things were going the wrong way, people stood up and prayed, and things turned around suddenly. I think a lot of people got a revelation of God right there, because that's just not anything that can happen that quick. You know, not when people are voting. They're not voting in groups, so it's just impossible except by God, you know. And I believe he stopped the cheating, and it just switched sides. I'm quite sure of that. We have to continue to fight the good fight of the faith and not sit down. There's crime families like the Bush and the Clinton and the Obama, and they're anarchists and BLM and communists, and they're intelligence assets that are embedded throughout the government, and they're all trying to overthrow Trump and the U.S. for Islam. And, you know, Trump, they know what he stands for. They know that he is overthrowing the far left, the very demonic far left, and they know he's going to overthrow Islam in this country, and they're fighting. And so we have to fight too. Share with you in a few minutes why the Lord has ordained us to do this. Okay, Obama told Trump that they would not just go away quietly into the night. And, of course, he meant it. We know he meant it. We know that his purpose is not to fight for America, but against America. The factious that went out from us did the exact same thing, fomenting anarchy by slander and vandalism. And it's the same demons. We have authority to send the angels to rout both factions, as Eve's dream said when David was sending out the angels to take the enemies out of the government. And that's the Lord speaking. He's just telling us, hey, fight on, you know. You have authority. I've given you the angels. Don't let them be useless, right? And when Matthew had said, quote, because once when Anna sat down, I saw a vision inside of the vision of Anna sitting down in the maroon chair. And as soon as she sat down, she got a puzzled look on her face. She paused because she normally sits in that chair, you know, so it's not an unusual vision, you know. She got a puzzled look on her face. She paused as if trying to figure out what was wrong. She then tried to take off the white coat and her scarf. I believe that this is probably we are not putting on the works of Christ if we rest from the battle that he sent us to do, right? That's probably what this symbolizes. She was thinking that maybe they were making her too hot. She couldn't seem to get into a comfortable position sitting down. Then she put her hand on the side of her belly and winced in pain. Well, neither UBM, whom I think she's representing here, or the man-child will be comfortable not standing up for the people of God and the U.S. any more than Esther and Mordecai sitting on their hands would have turned out good, right? They had a work to do, and they did it. For such a time as this, they had come to the kingdom. And it's the same situation with us. For such a time as this, God brought us here to do this warfare and to win and to exercise our faith. Well, no, we're not violent. We don't take any physical weapons. Our weapons are the authority of the Word of God, speaking and praying and believing in Jesus' name. And we need to do it. And when we see what's wrong, we need to speak against it. Not necessarily to people, but speak it down. Our words have power. When we agree with the enemy, we always lose. When we agree with the things that are, we always lose. We're supposed to call things that be not as though they were, right? We call the things that we pray for as done. We believe they're done, so we speak them as done. And when we do that, we see power go forth. So, for such a time as this, we have come to the kingdom, right? She said, I could tell the baby was stretching and pushing back because he was cramped when she sat down. Well, the Lord is coming, and he doesn't want any restraint from our flesh, right? She then realized that it wasn't good for the baby to be cramped up and that he had more room when she stood up. Well, when we stand for the Lord in faith, he is free to move, right? Amen. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. The Lord gave us that authority. And as we speak to the mountain, God moves it, right? All things are possible to him that believeth. So, believe in your heart, your prayers. Speak them out of your mouth as done. Speak to the mountain and command it out of the way. You know, they're hindering the seating of Trump's cabinet as much as they can. But they're looking really stupid in doing it because the right there is doing an awfully good job of pointing out their duplicitous, you know, ways. And anyway, it's making them look real bad. Although when those demons come into people, we call them the stupid demons because when they come into people, they don't get embarrassed about anything. You can point out anything to them. They just feel more self-righteous. She then stood back up quickly and went over to stand next to Matthew. I think this is very symbolical because Matthew means gift of Yahweh. And I believe in this case he's probably representing the man-child. And I believe as the bride stands next to the man-child, exercising the same authority like Esther did with Mordecai, Haman's going down, and all of his people are going down, just as it is there in the book of Esther. It's very clear. We're entering that time. Those are the things that are happening right there. That's a prophecy of the end time. We're having a Passover here, right? And this is the word I received yesterday. It's Acts 7 and 36. I received this word actually when I was thinking about the earthquakes and asking the Lord to give me his heart concerning this kind of thing. I know we're not supposed to be happy about judgment. Sometimes it's necessary, but we're not supposed to be happy about it at all. And I've felt the Lord's displeasure when I've heard people speak, you know, in a way that's contrary to his nature. God takes no pleasure in the judgment of the wicked, and he doesn't want us to either, you know. It is necessary sometimes. Sometimes we ask for mercy, but sometimes God can't afford to give mercy, you know, because judgment against an evil work isn't executed speedily. The hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. If chastenings don't come, people don't repent. They just get worse. And God can't afford that. That wouldn't be merciful. So you think, oh, God's having mercy. But let me tell you, mercy all the time is not merciful. Because people end up, you know, in total corruption, totally demon-possessed, and headed to hell. So, I mean, you know, there has to be some repentance. So this word I received, after I was praying and meditating on these things, was Acts 7 and 36. This man led them forth, having wrought wonders and signs in Egypt and in the Red Sea. Now, I believe we're seeing these signs and wonders in the Red Sea. You know, the vote was just like that, a sign and wonder in the Red Sea. And, you know, the fact that Trump went in there, you know, after all of those people spoke about killing him, is a sign or wonder in the Red Sea, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not over. So, and in the wilderness for 40 years, this is that Moses who said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall God raise up unto you from among your brethren like unto me. So he's saying there's another Moses coming, you see. And here we are at the Red Sea, so praise God. And, of course, she's full term, so that confirms it, right? And Eve said, then I heard Father's commanding voice behind me. It brought the vision to an end. And as he said, "Stand, Anna, and keep standing. Stand for the victory, and don't ever sit down." Well, you might say, stand up, Grace, Mercy, right? Keep standing. Keep believing for grace and mercy, right? And stand up, Bride. Do the spiritual warfare that you need to do against the Hamans of this world, right? Go to the King. He loves you. He will hear your voice, right? Mordecai, be there. Be ready to take over. So, in other words, don't be double-minded or lax in your commitment to fight the battle to victory against the factions in the government and in the church. Please, do this now. It's necessary. And the Lord is saying this. It's necessary. Fight on. This is no time to relax just because you got him in there. You got to understand it's impossible for him to be there and continue to be there with this many demon-possessed and evil people out there desiring to kill him. So, you see, you still need to pray for him, pray for his cabinet, pray for the officers, pray for everybody that needs to be prayed for, and cast down the demonic hordes who have taken over these people because they listen to slander. We're experts on this because we've been through this. We know when you sit there and listen to slander against somebody in disobedience to the word, demons enter in. And they can be totally stupid, totally evil. And so we need to pray. We need to cast that down so that they don't get their way. None of these people that are rioting believe in democracy. They're all communists or filled with hate or whatever. They don't believe that they're supposed to respect the vote. Even though the enemy cheated every way they possibly could, they still lost and they still don't accept the vote. Okay? So they don't believe in democracy. They don't believe in free will. They want to impose their will on you, right? So impose the will of God on them. That's what I'm saying. Eve said, "When I got to work, I asked Father for a word for this vision and received Isaiah 64, 1-4. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down." That's a visitation, right? "That the mountains might quake at thy presence." Wow. So that represents the coming of Jesus and the man-child during the quakes, right? And verse 2. "As when fire kindleth the brushwood, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries." Yes, they're going to see God. Many of them are going to see God. "So that the nations may tremble at thy presence." Well, we know that the nations were threatened by God to have earthquakes because of their command to divide Israel's land. That hasn't worked for quite a few people, including presidents who have been judged almost immediately when they did this. Okay. "And when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down." There it is again. Two witnesses, if you will. "The mountains quaked at thy presence. For from of old men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen a God besides thee, who worketh for him that waiteth for him." So the baby is constrained in a fleshly prison, but will soon be born. You know, we wait patiently for the Lord to bring our words to pass, right? Psalm 105 and 17 says this, the same thing. He sent a man before them. Joseph was sold for a servant. His feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the peoples, and let him go free. He brought him out of the prison, right? Which is the birth of the man-child ministry. Constrained in a fleshly prison, but released to rule. And his words came to pass. His brethren, who had persecuted him and hated him, he was the stone which the builders rejected, right? And his words about them bowing down to him came to pass, because God gave him authority over them. And he was very gracious. So, anyway, Eve on the 20th, the inauguration, said, I just asked Father for a word for today, and he gave me Amos 9:11. There's a 9:11. Amos 9:11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Of course, the Trump-David parallel is at work. And I received Psalms 114, 1 through 7. When Israel went forth out of Egypt, well, we just saw Pharaoh taken out by the Red Sea of right-wing voters and prayers, but it's still happening until the wilderness tribulation on the other side. Obviously, when we enter the tribulation, the Red Sea thing is over, right? But it's longer lasting than I think people are thinking, and it's going to last a little bit longer yet. Because even though Pharaoh was taken out of office, he ain't through being taken down, right? The house of Jacob from a people of strange language. Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Obviously, that's the Red Sea, right? The Jordan was driven back. And the Jordan represents something else. The Jordan represents death and entering into the promised land. And it's true with us, too. We have to fulfill that type just as we have to fulfill the type going across the Red Sea, that we die in order to enter our promised land or the land of promises, right? To stand on the promises, you've got to repent and change your mind and speak God's word. And when he tells you what he wants done, it's because he wants you to be a part of it becoming or coming to pass, right? And verse 4, the mountains skipped like rams. Now, that's kind of similar to Eve's verse. The little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleest? And thou, Jordan, that thou turnest back. Ye mountains, that you skip like rams, you little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, there it is again, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Well, there it is again, a visitation, and the trembling of the mountains, and the going forth from Egypt, right? Well, notice that after the Red Sea came the presence of the Lord in the man-child with the earthquakes. Because of the UN vote, the earthquakes are likely coming very quickly now. God just waited until after the inauguration so that Obama couldn't stay in office through martial law, which he certainly would have claimed had the earthquakes happened before then, right? And staying in by martial law was his plan. He obviously wasn't able to raise up enough anarchy to be able to pull off his plan of martial law, but we have the dreams to prove that that was his plan. And of course, I saw there was a video that had a picture of a woman's revelation of a spider that was chained to the globe. A very big spider on a large part of the globe, but chains leaving off of its legs going around the globe to other places. And it was chained down. It couldn't move. And there was a head on the spider, and the head was Obama's head. And the revelation that God gave to this woman was that the prayers of the saints have bound him, stopped him from doing what he wanted to do, and that others who were in favor of him were waiting for him to make a move so that they could make a move, and he couldn't move. Oh, I thought that was very neat. And that's true. You know, our prayers have stopped him from doing what he planned to do. God warned us what he planned to do. God warned us what he was going to let him do if there wasn't some movement on our behalf as far as repentance and faith. And when people did repent and go to God in faith and take their place as Esther, God heard Esther. Okay. I'm not saying he heard most of the church, because most of the church don't know up from down. You know, they don't even know what faith is. You know, so I mean, they're at the mercy. And Esther cried out for mercy to the King of Kings, and he heard. Amen. And for a week or so before the inauguration, I had this thought in my mind. It kept going through my mind. It was something like this. Pharaoh is headed towards God's Red Sea. And in my mind, it was to put it on the site before the inauguration on the 20th. But I didn't know that this was only a piece of the message. And I didn't know it was actually going to be a poem. So I got up about 5:20 in the morning to send that line to Brad to post. And the rest of that poem came to me within a few minutes. And that's just not me. My mind don't work that way. I mean, I'm not into poetry and never have been. I did it a couple times when I was a child and thought, that's okay. I'm not so interested, you know. So let's believe for this. We posted it on the 19th. I'll just tell it to you. Pharaoh is headed towards God's Red Sea. Gonna make the world a better place to be. Egyptian chasers no more to see. King of Babylon sees God's writing on the wall. Cyrus is coming to walk his hall. Haman made a bad mistake. He stumbled on God's girl, his life to take. Judas betrayed up to the last. God's sons and daughters laugh last. And I signed it God, because that's what he told me to do. So like I told you, I haven't been into poetry. It's just not my thing, you know, but it just poured out, you know. So there it is. And we need to pray. I mean, you see the types and shadows there, you know, and but we need to pray that God brings that to pass. We need to be his vessel to bring it to pass. You know, we're his soldiers, you know, and we need to go to work. That's what the Lord is saying. Don't just back off because you think everything is really ducky now and we don't have to worry about anything. You know, no, it's wrong. You're wrong. There's bad things coming, and we need to be ready. And then Eve said, I asked him, what is the bride standing for? You know, Anna was standing. He told her to stand and keep on standing, right? And received Jeremiah 51:56. And she said, my finger was on the phrase, he will surely requite. There has to be a chastening. Most of the church hasn't woke up yet. And they believe they're just fine while they're totally turned away from God's word and just doing their thing in their idols of Babylon, right? But God will surely requite. He has told us he is going to chasten apostate Christianity, and it's going to happen. For the Lord layeth Babylon waste, and destroyeth out of her the great voice. That sounds like a humbling, doesn't it? And their waves roar like many waters, and the noise of their voice is uttered. Could this be tidal waves, or the wicked just rampaging back and forth across the country? For the destroyer, we know who the destroyer is, you know, I mean, Planet X and Nibiru with earthquakes and the man-child, you know. For the destroyer is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, their bows are broken in pieces. For the Lord is a God of recompenses, he will surely requite. And that's where she put her finger, surely requite. God will recompense the evil that is going on here, the rebellion that's going on here, the apostate preachers that have captured God's people that's going on here. He's going to set his people free, and he's going to give them a recognition of the man-child, as it was in Jesus' day when he went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, and doing signs and wonders and miracles and so on and so forth. The people who had eyes to see and weren't just religious idolaters and had grace from God, they saw him, they knew who he was, you see. And they were willing to follow him into the wilderness. And so it will be. And verse 57, and I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her governors and her deputies, and her mighty men. And if you remember, you know, when the king of Babylon was getting drunk with his ladies and lords and drinking out of the vessels of God's house, and they got drunk, they saw the handwriting on the wall. And that was the end, wasn't it? And they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Yes, amen. King of Babylon sees the writing on the wall, Cyrus coming to walk his hall. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly overthrown, her high gates shall be burned with fire. Destruction will come in other words. We've been so insulated over so many years that many people in America believe it just couldn't happen here. And we've seen great earthquakes ravage other parts of the world and thought how blessed we were that this don't ever happen here. Huh. Well, I think God's going to wake a lot of people up. And the people shall labor for vanity, and the nations for the fire. They shall be weary. By the way, when you go through the tale of Planet X, there's going to be fires and fireballs and things like that there. So, and Eve said, I asked Father for a verse for Kurt. And those he represents in this vision, and received 1 Chronicles 9:1. My finger was on the phrase, they are written in the book. They are written in the book. Pretty cool, huh? Of the kings of Israel. So all Israel were reckoned by genealogies, and behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. And Judah was carried away captive to Babylon for their transgression. Yes, the people of God, as you know, when these earthquakes happen, there could be martial law. There can be, at least this time, the leadership is not intent on destroying the people under martial law, as the one we just lost. That is the mercy of God. But from what we're understanding, the chastening is still coming. And Babylon is where God's people are coming from to rebuild Zion, right? They're coming out of captivity. What's going to help them to do that? Why would they come out of their Babylonish captivity? They're so convinced of their religious dogmas and institutions that are so apostate. What could happen? Well, a great chastening could happen, and a revival could happen, and seeing Jesus walk around healing and casting out devils and so on and so forth, that could happen, and so on. So, yes, I do believe God is going to do a sudden and a great work. If the church is filled up after 9-1-1, which didn't last long, as soon as they saw it wasn't the end of the world, they all went back to doing their worldly thing. If that happened during, what would happen if this happened? This judgment of earthquakes across this country. And a revival with great signs and wonders and miracles. Wouldn't you think there's a lot of people that would realize, you know, that their, first of all, their religion is powerless. That's the first thing they realize, that just like the Pharisees, they realized they were powerless. And you know that the Apostle Paul told us to forsake powerless religion, right? They have a form of godliness, and they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. And they haven't listened to that because they don't really have a respect for the Scriptures. But they will have when Jesus shows up and starts doing the healings and the deliverances and preaching of the real gospel and all these good things, you know. Oh, yeah. I think we have a good time coming, folks, a good time. Oh, I'm not talking about in the flesh. In the flesh, there's going to be a lot of loss. There's going to be a lot of fear because of people losing their lives, and there'll be a lot of sorrow. But at the same time, people get shocked out of their complacent lives and turn to God. So you need to be praying for that too, right? And we have to fight, or we will lose. Please pay attention to this short version of man-child-Trump parallel. You know, I've shared this with you before, but there's an exhortation there that I haven't shared, which is at the end of this, except for one time. And it really fits with what we're talking about today, so I'm going to share it with you, the short form, and the authority that's given to us to win this thing, right? So, of course, that was given to Eve on 11-11. Woohoo! 16. I dreamed that I was standing in the back of a press conference room, and there was a stage up front and a podium, and there were reporters seated in the chairs on the front waiting for the president-elect to come and give his acceptance speech. I could hear people all over the world cheering and celebrating their victory, and you know that's happened, don't you? Yeah, it has. The establishment press is not covering that. And, of course, the local internet presses are not, you know, able to cover that. They don't have the foundation to do that. I'm praying that Trump's friends will buy out some of these organizations that are going downhill. I know they talked about buying CNN, Clinton News Network. That would be very good. Take that over, wouldn't it? So I believe there's cheering and celebration out there, folks. And people in Europe and other places are encouraged to overthrow the crazy people, the demon-possessed people that have taken over their governments and don't care about them at all, and are just protecting the murderers and the rapists. Did you ever think things would get this crazy? Well, the world looks at that and they really wonder, because they don't understand demon possession, nor how people get demon possessed, nor God can turn whole governments over to demon possessed people for chastenings. They don't understand that. They look at it and there's a big question mark on their face. What? This is unreasonable. What is going on here? You know, it's just confusing to them. They don't understand it. But I'll tell you what. Some of them are starting to believe in demon possession. And, of course, the term president-elect here is used when he's elected to office but not yet inaugurated, right? So this is leading up to that point. That's what's happening. She said, I was expecting Donald Trump to come walking in, but instead almost like I was given a glimpse of a parallel universe. David Eales, and I said, as a type of the David Manchild Company, came walking in from the right of the stage with four large bodyguards. Well, I'm very thankful that they're there. You can't imagine how many threats I've received, including people telling me their dreams about me being assassinated. So now I got four large bodyguards. Well, this is talking about the David Manchilds, how that they are protected. And they'll need it because, you know what history proves about people who walk in the steps of Jesus, right? How about all the prophets? How about all the apostles? Okay. What happened to them? And who done it? Yeah. So, anyway, I believe the bodyguards here are angels, dressed in white shirts and black suits with no ties. In other words, no bail. No bail involved there. That's what the tie represents. David was dressed in an ivory-colored suit and white shirt. There were about 15 or 20 government agents gathered all around the podium. And I believe this is the spiritual government agents who are the angels. The agents were waiting for President-elect David to give them their orders. And to do what? To arrest the criminals in the government and in the church. Yes. And the key of David, by the way, is given to the bride, you know, the Philadelphia church and so on and so forth. So that's to bind and loose. So the Davids have authority, and they can give that authority to the bride. All over the stage among the agents were many empty cardboard boxes that had been opened up and were ready to be packed up. As David stood at the podium, he began motioning with his index finger to each agent and giving them their orders one at a time. And again, I believe this is the angels. This is done through our commands. It's done through our acts of faith, our belief, you know. And it's not done in the physical, but by the authority in the spiritual realm, right? And I understood that he was sending them throughout Washington, D.C., to find all the evil, wicked people in the government and to flush them out, not flush them down, but flush them out of their hiding places and send them packing. That's the thing I really wanted you to see right there, is that the Lord is delegating to us the authority to do this, right? I then had a vision of corrupt government officials hiding under their desks in fetal positions. They were terrified and paralyzed with fear and couldn't function anymore. And we loose the spirits of fear on them and paranoia on them in the name of Jesus. Let them start running when no man pursues, as it says of the wicked, right? The righteous is as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. It's kind of like what the Lord did with that hornet when he sent it into the promised land and ran them out in front of the Israelites, you know. Well, let us, through the authority given to us, root out the corruption and send them packing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority, we send forth our angels to bring an end of all this resistance in seating Trump's cabinet. We come against that in the name of Jesus. And we ask that these men be experts at what they do to root out the corruption in the government, and that the angels will be there to help them. And we command those people who have been hiding in the government and are corrupt and are doing their demon-possessed thing, that they be routed out and sent on their way. We command it to be done so in Jesus' name, who gave us the authority. And Eve says, I think the boxes represent the timing of the wilderness as well as sending the enemy and their evil vessels packing. Amen. Go. Leave this government in the name of Jesus. She said, I believe that this dream has two meanings. The elect corporate man-child is coming into power in the spiritual realm, concurrently with Trump in the physical realm. And also, Father is confirming that the body of David has power to send forth the angels to expose and eject the evil. He is answering our prayers of faith. Amen. Amen. The angels fulfill what the saints speak in agreement with God. Hebrews 1 and 13 says, But of which of the angels hath he said at any time, Sit thou at my right hand? No, he didn't give this authority to angels, did he? He gave it to men. And Adam lost it for men, but Jesus had to come as a man to gain it back. And so, because he didn't sin, he didn't give his authority to the devil. His servant you are, whom you obey, right? Sit thou on my right hand, till I make the enemies the footstool of thy feet. Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? Yes, that's what they do. They serve the cause of salvation to be fully manifested in God's people. And the salvation that we speak into the world as the salt of this world, they go forth to bring that to pass too. You notice that the Lord rules through His true ministers and angels. You know, you can see that right there. Psalm 103 and 19, The Lord hath established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill His word, hearkening unto the voice of His word. So when you speak the word, when you command the mountain to be cast down, who brings it to pass? They do. Because His word has been delegated to His children. Right? What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. As the Father sent me, so send I you, Jesus said. And what did Jesus speak? The words of His Father. And what do we speak when we speak in agreement with the Father because we are being delegated to exercise authority on the earth? And He gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. So when we speak the word of the Lord, not necessarily quoting it, but speaking in agreement with it, the angels go forth to bring it to pass. Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. So He's blessing the angels and blessing the ministers, right? Bless the Lord, all ye His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, who had dominion in the book of Esther? Well, the King of Kings had it, but He delegated it to them, did He not? He sure did. Gave Mordecai His ring of authority so He could give the signature of the king. He told them to write letters as they wanted to the people. And they were held accountable to the king to obey. And it's so today. We're having our Purim. Our Purim is like a Passover for the people of God, but it is destruction upon the wicked, just like the Passover was. So we need to claim that. We need to stand on that Purim. We need to speak our authority and bring to pass what God has called us to bring to pass. Right? Let us exercise our authority over the evil in all the branches of this government. As I said a moment ago, we're the salt of the earth. If we lose our savor, we're good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men. By the way, what part of the church is trodden under the foot of men constantly? They're ruled over by men. Men exercise dominion over them. Well, it's those that don't believe the promises of the Word of God. And they have to go to men for everything that they get. And they're under men that rule over them in their churches. Those are men. You know, they're not God. God can rule in a church, but it'll be because someone is in agreement with the Word of God and they have the authority and they've been sent by Him. So where does that leave all the churches out there when there's so few of them that ever even been baptized in the Spirit? God demanded that His ministers be filled with the Spirit before leaving Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with this power, this promise of the Father. You know? So they don't care about that. No, they're not qualified. So that's men. They're still ruled over by men. And, of course, that's not going to save anybody. But they're going to get a revelation because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus is coming to do the same thing He did 2,000 years ago, except greater. That's right. He's going to do it in His people, the ones He gave authority to do it, just like Ahasuerus gave authority to Esther and Mordecai to conquer the beast, Haman, and his people. Now we have this authority over Haman and his people. We're having our Purim. So just believe. Saints, just believe and speak. Speak with authority. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." That kind of resembles some of these people. "And over all the power of the enemy." Over all the power of the enemy. "And nothing shall in any wise hurt you." That sounds like them big angels, huh? Matthew 18:18, "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So command it boldly." Take a chance. You're really not taking a chance when you step out in faith and you speak things. But the devil tells you you're going to look stupid, you know. But just boldly speak it. Psalm 149:6 says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples." Now, you know, you and I wouldn't like to speak some of the judgments that we see in the book of Revelation, which are being spoken, by the way, as judgments, and they do come out of the mouth of somebody, you know, whenever He brings them to pass. We wouldn't like to do that. We wouldn't like to see the results of it. But you see, we're on God's side, and we serve Him. So we do what He tells us to do, right? We can ask Him for mercy and grace, and that's good. I think He desires that that heart be in us. And that we desire the heart of God, you know. And that's His heart too. You know, His heart was shown at Nineveh. You know, Jonah was mad that God didn't wipe him out. He wanted to see it. But that wasn't God's heart, and He revealed that. Now Nineveh escaped a judgment, I saw it back in the end of the last century. And but it didn't last all that long. I think in the natural it lasted maybe 70 years or something like that. Of course, time is flying by, and it doesn't not going to take 70 years. But Nineveh didn't ultimately escape the judgment of God. They did, and God told him why he did it, because they needed mercy, right? To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. The judgment written. This honor have all of his saints. Praise ye the Lord. So pray and agree with me, okay? We command and cast down the demons of faction, witchcraft, Satanism, murder, assassination, hatred, wrath, anarchy, lying, slandering, manipulation, destruction, deception in the government and over the peoples. We send forth the angels to bring it to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, we cast down your plots and your schemes and all of those of your helpers. And we command the fear of God on the wicked, paranoia and confusion in their camps. We pray for protection and wisdom for Trump and his cabinet, his advisors, his helpers, his police, the Secret Service personnel, etc. And Lord, we send forth the angels to bring this to pass. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you for the victory, Father. We receive it. We see the end from the beginning. You said all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, believe we received them, and we shall have them. So we thank you, our Father, taking care of this situation. I don't think a lot of people know this because they probably wasn't watching it, but we just became a police state before Obama left office. And some of that stuff got to be turned around somewhere down the road, hopefully. Merlene Laughlin had this revelation about no privacy in like a police state. And she had that in November the 30th of last year. She said, I woke up from a dream at 3:33 a.m. You know, I wake up at 3:33 and I always do something about it. Because it just reminds me of Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great things and difficult which thou knowest not. And that's our prayer today, Lord. We pray that you will do this for us, that you'll show us these great things and difficult, the things we don't know. Thank you so much, Father. And Merlene said, I saw a building that looked like an apartment building from the brief time that I saw it from the outside. I was an observer and could not be seen. So Merlene Laughlin was watching this whole thing here. And then I saw a man in his early 40s with dark hair, wire-rim glasses, and a Hitler-style mustache. He was of medium height and build. He wore a light tan jacket and jeans. Well, you know, if somebody's wearing a Hitler-style mustache, he's got to be a bad person. Because who would do that? It reminds everybody of him, of course. And so it hadn't been very fascist. I mean, it hasn't been very fashionable to have that kind of mustache. It's obvious that he's representing something, and I believe he's representing Hitler's overreaching government here. Because as you hear the rest of the revelation, you'll see that that's what's going on. you know, pray for Trump to make it illegal again, some of the things that Obama legalized in order to just do his selfish will need to be undone. There was, by the way, a running gun battle when CIA tried to invade NSA station for information for Obama. And when the CIA lost and was running for cover, one of them was hit and sent to the hospital. So Obama then did an executive order that the NSA information was all legal to use. As you know, they have all information, but they're not. It's not legal for them to use a lot of the information that they know about you and me, okay? And also, right after that, Obama revealed Trump's communications to the public, which is illegal, but it was in retaliation for the WikiLeaks releasing Obama's criminal communications. So it was just a war going back and forth. And we got to pray now that Trump overrules this intrusion of privacy through the intelligence community. I want to tell you, folks, that down the road when the mark of the beast comes, and I don't believe it's very far off, all of this is going to come back. So what we do now is going to be temporary. And there's a reason for that. God has to, the people who have been brought into the kingdom also have to go through the tribulations and trials that the bride and the man-child has gone through. They have to go to their cross. They need people to help them go to their cross. And this is why, through much tribulation, shall you enter the kingdom. So, yes, it will come back. It is the word of the Lord. And we know that they have been blackmailing people, and they do blackmail everyone. And it really doesn't have to be the truth with these demons. They just slander. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be the truth to blackmail people. You can blackmail them with lies. You can say, we got this, we got that, you know. And they do that. And, of course, Obama was using information to try to destroy Trump, and it failed because people were praying, you know, praise God. And she said the Hitler type man was being interviewed live about the Doors situation. The person interviewing was standing on the left, and I only saw his hand holding the microphone. I had a knowing that the news van was also on the left, but I could not see it. Well, anybody that agrees with the things that are going on, they're kind of like the mainstream media today. My goodness, what a mess they're in. Thank God that they're crumbling, you know, and don't have the influence that they used to have. And Father, we just ask you to bring them all the way down, because they have been a criminal enterprise. And those to spread forth the slander that came out of this administration in order to impart demons to people. The devil knows how to do it, and he used them to do it. So, Lord, we just ask that you bring down that evil media that is even now impregnating people with demons. So, thank you, Father. Thank you. We send forth the angels to bring this anarchy to an end in the name of Jesus. So the man in the jacket was talking about the unusual Doors. There was something about his demeanor that troubled me. He seemed to be too detached. Kind of like Hitler, right? Kind of like some of the people that we see that they just get up there to preach, you know, very self-righteously, but they really don't care about the people. They only care about manipulating the people and using the people. So this past administration just removed all privacy for individuals as far as email and phone and computers and internet and satellite, etc. They used that, which was never supposed to be done. Of course, when they say, we're just doing this, we're never going to use it, that's always a lie. Always a lie. If they're doing it, they're going to use it. It's like the frog in the teapot thing, right? They just turn it up a little bit. And Obama was famous for it. He totally broke laws, but he would get closer and closer and closer, and you would just like the frog in the teapot until you're hardened, you know. And there are no locks to keep them out of our business. Back doors are everywhere, and they can see through our walls if they want to. A person must pray and trust God for invisibility in all things. You know, send forth your angels' security agents, right? Send forth your angels and have them blind the government. Take you out of their hard drives. Take you out of their, you know, intelligence completely. You just speak it and you believe it, right? I've seen it happen. Yeah. And while he was still being interviewed, a few people had started to gather, and they went into the building to see for themselves. And I saw the outside front door and the back. They had nice gold doorknobs with the standard deadbolt lock above. So all of the looks of security are on the outside, but there was none of this on the inside. It had the appearance, in other words, you look at your computer and you think you've got security and you put security in there, but they got back doors so that on the inside they can come right on in, right? It had the appearance of a normal apartment building, but inside, however, was a different story. Over to the left was a double archway that led to a beautiful sitting room. There's that word, sitting again. Remember, sitting is how you lose to the enemy, right? Consistent praying habits is what we need to do, right? Praying without ceasing is how we cover all the bases to close the doors. We've been told that we have not because we ask not. It reminds me of when ice was on the ground here, and I prayed that no dents would come in our vehicle that day. And we went down a very steep hill that was covered in ice, and others were in the ditch and so on and so forth, you know. And we slid down a long iced hill and went actually through a car, through it, because of that prayer that I prayed, with no damage whatsoever. And our tracks, by the way, proved it, because there was snow there on the side of the road, and it showed exactly where our car went. We went right through another car, and no dents whatsoever. Michael Hare was there. He's a witness. We walked back up the hill and looked at the tracks, and the car that we went through was still sitting there. Anyway, I'm just pointing out, you know, when we say these prayers, the Lord brings them to pass. He says, you have not because you ask not. You know what? We just have to get used to praying all the time, practicing the presence of God all of the time. That's why we are the temple of God, so we don't have to go anywhere and pray towards any temple or anything like that. Pray for an hour here or there, or in the morning or in the evening. No, we are the temple of God. We can talk to God all the time. The angels are, by the way, always around us. And when we speak things, they go to bring them to pass. They're sent forth to do service to them that are heirs of salvation, right? They go and bring it to pass. Praise be to God. And she said it had white walls and white fireplace and two white winged back chairs facing each other. Sounds like a good lounge, a good lazy place, a place to sit down. Across from this doorway to the right, a swing door which had no knob, in other words, no privacy or security, Passing the swing door was a large bathroom with many stalls, and this bathroom was completely painted yellow, and the six stalls were on the right. I pushed the first stall door open, and to my surprise, everything was painted orange, which I believe means danger. Danger. When you don't have any security, it's dangerous. So that's why we have to depend upon God's security to make ourselves invisible to whatever the government is snooping into, right? But there wasn't any of the usual slide locks on the inside of the doors. If a door is shut, it pops open about 4 or 5 inches. No magnetic closures either. So if the toilet is needed, there wasn't any privacy. So in other words, I believe this is talking about no secret of our past life, which, by the way, Paul called dung, is hidden from those who want to destroy us. Except when we hide in God, right? Now, we're going to have to learn this lesson. We need it now, but we're going to desperately need it in the days to come. Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a good hiding place right there. And who's going to mess with you there, right? And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And this is how we do it. We just speak it. We say of the Lord, and it comes to pass. Because we're being trained to be sons and daughters of God. So we do things the way Jesus did things. You know, Jesus was so invisible, He just passed through their midst. When they had Him up cornered on a hill to cast Him off, He went right through the middle of them. Can you imagine? My God, in whom I trust, for He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. So, people trying to capture you, He said He would deliver you. And from the deadly pestilences that you can't even see, He said He would deliver you, right? He will cover thee with His pinions, and under His wings shalt thou take refuge. Amen. And who's going to bother you under there? His truth is a shield and a buckler. You know, there's plenty of factious people in the government now and in the church, and they have these demons. So they don't need to prove truth, but you still need protection. You still need refuge from these wicked. And we get that by speaking it, by agreeing with the Word of God and speaking it. The secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. It is dwelling in Him, the Most High. Abiding in Him through repentance and faith. I then went upstairs to see those doors on each apartment. There wasn't any knobs to the outside doors. Someone else came up to the door and walked right in. And she noticed that the bedroom, closet, and bathroom had no knobs. No one could have anything private or secure. So, what's all this saying? The police state has come, but we can pray it down, I think, for a short time. She said anyone could come in day or night. They wouldn't even have a knob to turn. So, you know, we need to hide our communications and our positions by faith. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. We need to ask and believe for invisibility in all things. Psalm 83:3 says, "They take crafty counsel against thy people, and consult together against thy hidden ones." So they can take all the crafty counsel they want, but if they're hidden, there's nothing they can do about it, right? Thank you, Lord. Against thy hidden ones. And then she got some verses by faith at random. Matthew 26:34. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter saith unto him, "Even if I must die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Well, the thought that came to me when I read this is, if we do not believe his word, by which we restrain the enemies in all areas, we're denying Jesus' right to rule through us. You know, if we're taken captive by the enemy, how can we be used to do the things that we're called to do? We're denying the Lord his right to rule through us. He needs a vessel that he can use, and we're very useless if we walk in unbelief. How many people are totally taken out of this world before their time because of unbelief? And what could God have used them for? He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of understanding." So how long could he have used this person or that person had they had understanding that would have kept them in the master's service? It's sad so many people leave this life early because they didn't believe the Word of God. They never thought they would have to use the Word of God. And so they didn't study it and didn't put it in their hearts, and it wasn't natural to them. Right? Matthew 26:51, "And behold, one of them that was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and smote the servant of the high priest, and struck off his ear." Verse 51. "Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." That's a promise. It's a promise that should make a lot of people who are prepared to fight this government, or fight coming governments or whatever, you know, or defend themselves. You know, I mean, it should make them tremble, because it's the word of the Lord. It can't not come to pass, you know. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. The curse is to trust in our own flesh to save ourselves. We know God's power is made perfect for us when we are weak. Especially when we're weak to save ourselves. God quits working when we're doing the work. He starts working when we cease and start speaking it. To the percentage that we are ceasing because we believe we have received, to whatever percentage that is, that's how much of a miracle we can get, you know. And verse 53, "Or thinkest thou that I cannot beseech my Father, and he shall even now send me more than 12 legions of angels?" So, here was Peter going to save Jesus with the sword. And he warned him, "If you take the sword, you'll perish with the sword. But I could call, if I wanted to, 12 legions of angels to defend me." And obviously the angels can defend us totally. If he could call 12 legions, how many angels does it take? One. Just one. It only took one to kill 185,000 men. It just takes one. And he could call 12 legions of them. And he's looking at this defense that he has here, and he's scoffing at it. I mean, for goodness sake. That's the problem. You know, there's just so little faith and belief among the people of God. Shall he find faith on the earth, right? The angels can defend us totally, totally. How then should the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Well, notice that Jesus gave up his right to use those angels so that he could be the sacrifice to save us. Jesus was denied the things that we are supplied because he bore the curse for us. In that hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against a robber with swords and with staves to seize me? I sat daily in the temple teaching, and you took me not. Amen. Well, here's a revelation that was sent to us by Deborah Finsky, January the 21st, 2017. We called it Three Fingers Held Up, because that's what the revelation is about. And I put some notes in here, not necessarily interpretation, but she said, praise Jesus, I'd like to greet you, elders, David, and all the UBM brethren in the name of Jesus. Well, amen. Bless you, Deborah. And I would like to share a vision I had yesterday morning. And I've had many little visions and dreams, but there was something about the way this vision came to me, and something about the vision itself that I am really desiring thoughts or interpretation of. I was laying in bed and trying to muster strength to get up, as I have been weakened by a cold, in order to go with my husband to our son's house so we could watch the inauguration, praise God. And my eyes were closed, and I rolled over in bed. And as I rolled over, this vision just seemed to roll in before me. Literally rolled in like clouds. It seemed that what I was looking at and watching was God the Father sitting on a throne. But it was like looking at a cloud formation. Okay? The vision was all white and fluffy, and a large form of a man sitting on a large throne. I could see his arms on the armrests, but all I could see of a throne was the big white armrests. I saw his whole body to down just below the knees, even the shape of clothing. I was just watching this, and as I watched, I saw him lift his left hand and put up three fingers. And then he sort of turned his head just slightly and lifted three fingers on his right hand. But it was all done in slow motion. So his fingers moved very slowly and flimsy-like. They were not strong and straight up in the air. But yet I could see that it was three fingers on one hand and then the next. It seemed to me that he was wanting what he was doing to be obscured by the slow motion and the fingers not fully opened up to full height. But I carefully looked back and forth from one hand to the other to be sure, and yes, it was three fingers on each. And then it disappeared. And that was it. I feel that he is revealing something in the obscurity and the slow motion of his fingers, and pretty sure something about the number 3. I have to add that the Father knows how much I love to look at clouds and find formations in them. Maybe that's why this came to me in that way. So, anyway, I thought on this. Briefly, I just asked the Lord, well, Lord, show me something about this. I have felt that the Lord was telling me for some time that it's not over with the Obama war against America. Just because he's kicked out of the presidency doesn't mean it's over. I believe he's going to fight on. And I believe he's going to covertly burn cities and riots and anarchy. And it's happening from D.C. to the West Coast. Although the mainstream media hides it, as they did recently when they burned cities and killed innocents here in our state. I believe he has weapons. He's been caught giving them to the enemy. I believe he's distributed them. I believe he's made those mosques in order to hide weapons and other things in, and then made it illegal for anybody to go in there and inspect their mosques. Well, they better get their stuff out of there, because I got a feeling that's not going to last long. I don't have any doubt that he has the Clinton and Bush crime families with him, and George Soros and BLM and the communists and the ISIS and the embedded intelligence assets and, you know, different things like that, that he can carry on this war. He's done it right under our nose, fighting against America for Islam. And why people can be so stupid, I don't know. I don't understand. And so when I asked the Lord what the 3 fingers meant, and it came to me to search for 3 fingers held up. That's what came to me. Because that's what she said, 3 fingers were being held up, right? And when I did that search, there at the top, I saw a picture of 3 fingers held up with this link that was embedded when you put your cursor over the hand. And lo and behold, it was a teaching or an understanding that was given to Daniel Greenfield about the 3 fundamental mistakes in dealing with Islam. And, you know, we post this. I'll stick this link here. It's all about the foolishness of placating and ending up serving radical Islam. And, of course, this is all a deception of this past administration. Not that they're deceived. They knew exactly what they were doing in giving in to Islam everywhere. They were bringing it. They were using them. They were their soldiers. They used them in the Middle East, etc., and they wanted to use them here. And they hoped that Hillary would carry the baton here and do the same thing. We know all this because we had dreams and revelations about it. As far as pacifying Islam, it can't be done. No more than you could pacify a factious person. They are the most factious people and the most violent about their faction as any on earth. They can't be pacified. And that wasn't the plan. They were given many billions of dollars of taxpayers' money while we went trillions into debt. Obama built them many fine mosques in the Middle East with the taxpayers' money. And here in this country, he's done it, while they used them to plot to overthrow us. I don't think most people believe what I'm saying. But we just know it because God told us. And, if you go out there and look for these things, you'll find them out there. You'll find every bit of it out there. And the fact that he's a Muslim, that's out there. Very clear. There's no God but Allah on his ring, right? And he was in Jeremiah Wright's organization because it's not Christian. It's fake Christianity. And he could stand it. And it gave people the impression that he was a Christian. And he went around telling people he was a Christian. And everybody knows it's a lie now. But that's what Muslims do. They lie. Don't ever put a Muslim in government. It's their doctrine to lie to the unbelievers. It's written in their book. And you can't shame them about lying because they think it's admirable. You can't shame them. Obama, I think the reason these fingers were a little fuzzy was that Obama does not want us to know that he's a Muslim and that he has been representing Islam all along in order to conquer America. And he's warring to overthrow the United States for Islam, as the Muslims well know, and they speak about it in their media. Even prophecies from the past about him coming to do this. He's brought his troops into the country to do here what he's done in the Middle East. He's overthrown regimes that were friendly to us all over the Middle East and Africa, and replaced them with radical Islamists, or at least left them with radical Islamists at war to subject the people, the poor people. He's killed hundreds of thousands of people, and they gave him the Peace Prize. He's tried to start a world war between Islam's worst enemies. Don't you know that's the best way to do it? You know, get your enemies at war, let them kill each other off, and then you're unhindered to conquer the world for Allah. Yeah, he tried a war with Russia and America, tried hard to do it, to provoke them so he could blame them. And Putin was smart enough to know that. Putin's a whole lot smarter than Obama. He knew exactly what he was trying to do. I believe that from here on, it's going to begin like a covert war, masked as public anger against Trump. But you can see these crazy people, they're evil to the core. They've got those demons. They've got those stupid demons. They listen to enough slander, they believe what they've heard. It doesn't make any difference. They don't have any proof. It's the same way with the faction. It doesn't make any difference. They don't have any proof of anything that they say. You know, when you disobey God's word and you receive accusations against someone without any witnesses, that that's illegal. And when you do things illegal, you get turned over to the devil. The devil is waiting for people to disobey God's word because he knows he has permission to torment you. And I think that's the reason that there's a hesitation to boldly show the fullness of the three fingers there. And it was on the right and the left, I believe, because both parties have bought into this pacification scheme. And perhaps the fingers are wispy looking and not solid because it's passing away. That's what I hope. But I believe that we will fight the good fight of the faith, and he will lose. And I believe many, many Muslims are coming into the kingdom. They're coming to know Christ, and this is going to greatly increase. And I celebrate for them. I'm very happy for them completely. I have a good friend who's a Muslim, or was a Muslim, and or was a, excuse me, he was an Arab, and he's a Christian, and he's a fine Christian. And if you've lived that long under murder, hatred, jealousy, strife, never being able to trust anybody around you, because they're all out to get you, you know, and so on and so forth. If you've lived among that and you come into Christianity, real Christianity, not the Christianity of the world, it's quite a load off your shoulders. I believe they appreciate the love of Christ in replacing that God of hatred and murder. Right? I believe they appreciate that very much. Like Paul coming out from under the law and coming under grace, it's just a big load off of you. Isn't God good? Oh, thank you, Father. He is so good. You know, something strange is happening. You remember here recently I was talking to you about stress on the East Coast fault lines. Well, since I believe the 20th, there's been this massive carbon monoxide burst from the Ramapo fault system in eastern Pennsylvania on into New Jersey. The worst on the planet. And that is usually a sign of earthquakes coming. Okay, here's an article here that was sent to me by Malcolm on January, that it was posted on January the 21st, 2017. They've got a satellite picture of this giant CO gas release, right? It says an utterly massive emission of carbon monoxide is emanating from the Pennsylvania portion of the Ramapo earthquake fault, which runs from eastern Pennsylvania into northern New Jersey, with surface carbon monoxide levels reaching a very high 2,714 parts per billion by volume, which converts to 2.7 parts per million. From a health standpoint, this is not dangerous because CO levels only become dangerous at 400 parts per million. But it is the worst in the world right now. Nowhere else on the planet are the CO readings this high as of 4 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, January the 21st, 2017. Today's reading is only 2.7 parts per million, so again, from a health standpoint, this is not dangerous. But it may be an earthquake precursor. Matter of fact, those have been proven to be a precursor to earthquakes. Okay. First, here is a generalized graphic from ABC News showing the Ramapo earthquake fault in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It shows a picture of it. And it says, take a look at how a satellite model from GEOS 5 satellite shows the CO gas is literally bursting forth from the area of the Ramapo fault line and blowing to the east, northeast in the wind. And we looked at it again today, and it's the same. It's, or maybe worse. It's a little worse today, I believe it was. You remember I shared with you about a very deep earthquake up at the North Pole, which was bringing about lesser earthquakes down towards the East Coast. And apparently bringing stress on the East Coast and the possibility of a coming earthquake there. And then this gas shows up, and the worst anywhere on the planet. In some areas of the planet where the ground is under intense pressure from tectonic plate movement, the ground sometimes gives off gases like carbon monoxide. We emphasize that this only takes place under certain circumstances based on the content of the ground beneath us, is not always a precursor to an earthquake. The land in eastern Pennsylvania and into New Jersey in that area is very old and very hard rock. And earthquakes are not common in this region because the land is long settled. But we know that sometime soon an East Coast earthquake is going to come all the way down the East Coast. And this seems like a possible precursor to that. And we're pretty close to it. We're pretty close to that time. Because remember, the earthquakes also bring the revival and the man-child. Or actually, they are coming because the man-child is coming. At his presence, the earthquakes. That's what we know. But because the land is bedrock, any earthquake which actually does take place is felt over a much wider area. That's because the hardness of the rock shows earthquake energy to travel quickly over wide areas. Scientists tell us there's no way to accurately predict an earthquake. Well, they do that to cover themselves because they don't want any kind of liability, or they don't want to start a panic that would get people killed and so on and so forth. So they don't want any liability. The government don't want any liability. So they say that, which is a lie. It is a lie. There are people that are doing pretty good at predicting earthquakes, telling you the general area they're going to happen in, and even the size, and they're getting it right. And they're making the scientists and the professionals look stupid. And so they're trying to take them off the air, you know, kind of like Dutch Sense, because he's been doing it. So they're trying to ruin these people because they're doing it. They're doing what the scientists say you can't do. Of course, they're doing that under the orders of their bosses and the government. And, of course, they've downplayed every earthquake that comes out there, and some of them don't even record. Quite a few they don't even record. They don't want you to believe that something's happening to this planet. USGS, you know, it's just totally false. They don't record many that they should be recording. You can go to other places and they record them. So to say that there's no way to accurately predict an earthquake, that's a lie, and that's to cover them. And here's another one that has a lot more information in it. I can put them both in there. This one says three earthquake fault lines in New Jersey have begun emitting carbon monoxide gas from underground, possibly indicating that they are being squeezed and potentially warning of a coming earthquake. A satellite model using analysis from space is showing the carbon monoxide emissions in our atmosphere, and it corresponds remarkably well with the location of the Hopewell, Flemington, and Chalfont earthquake faults. You can look at the live satellite data and so on and so forth. Now, so this, I'm using this one actually for information purposes, not the date or anything else. Because, let's see, it talks about the man that discovered this as a precursor. I'm going to scroll on down and see if I can find that. It shows the Ramapo fault system. It's a long one. It has a lot of cracks running off of it down the East Coast. There's the system is the Ramapo fault, the Hopewell fault, Flemington Furlong fault, and the Chalfont fault. Okay, here it is. It happened in India. The most famous of these incidents took place in India and was analyzed by Dr. Ramesh Singh. Earth emits a burst of carbon monoxide a few days before an earthquake, according to geophysicist Dr. Ramesh Singh. He and co-workers from France and the United States report that this gas could be used as one of the precursor signals for an earthquake early warning system. The scientists, and I read about this guy a couple of years ago, you know, saying these things, and it's very interesting. But how come our scientists don't claim it, you know, because it's a fact. The scientists used data from an American satellite and analyzed changes in carbon monoxide at different altitudes. The carbon monoxide shows enhancement in concentrations of a few days prior to the earthquake, Singh said. Singh, who was formerly with the Indian Institute of Technology in Kanpur, is currently in the physics department at Chapman University in California, USA. The project was funded by the Indo-French Center for the Promotion of Advanced Research in New Delhi. The researchers discovered the connection between CO emission and by earthquakes by analyzing satellite remote sensing data collected around the time when a 7.6 magnitude earthquake shook Gujarat in western India 15 years ago, killing about 20,000 people and rendering thousands homeless. The 2001 Gujarat earthquake occurred on the 26th of January. That sounds like that 126 revelation when the boat set sail, right? And lasted for over 2 minutes. The epicenter was about 9 kilometers south-southwest of the village of Kobore in Bakau, Taluka of Kutch, district of Gujarat, India. Singh said the CO levels were taken by an instrument on board NASA's Terra satellite, launching in 1999. Circling the Earth in a polar orbit at a height of 705 kilometers, the instrument measures CO concentrations at different heights and also computes the total amount of the gas in a vertical column of air above the Earth's surface. An analysis of the satellite data showed a large peak in CO concentrations during January the 19th and the 20th. That was back then, okay? A week before the main earthquake event, which happened on the 26th, okay? On January the 19th, the total CO in the vertical column was also higher than usual, and after the 26th of January earthquake, the concentrations of the gas dropped. So isn't it interesting that we just had the same thing on our 20th of January? And that we've had what could be, that the 26th would be an earthquake. That's interesting. I mean, I don't think that's an accident. The Lord's showing us something here. According to scientists, CO gas is forced out of the earth due to the buildup of stress prior to the earthquake influencing hydrological regime around the epicenter. Singh said an anomalous increase in land surface temperature a few days prior to Gujarat earthquake, as inferred from the data of NASA's other satellite, MODIS, is also related to the CO emission. The increase of column CO and concentrations of CO may have enhanced the land surface temperature, he said. Very interesting. So, I think we're getting closer to the earthquakes. Whether this is it, I don't know. Here's one. It also happened in China. No other earthquake in the 20th century was as catastrophic or claimed as many lives as that which struck the city of Tangshan in North China on July the 28th, 1976. Tangshan, a thriving industrial city in Hebei province, is located about 95 miles east of the slightly south of Beijing and about 280 miles southwest of Haishang, Liaoning province, where the February 1975 another very destructive earthquake occurred. Let me see if there's something very, very important here. There were no foreshocks or clear precursor phenomena prior to the Tangshan earthquake. as there had been in other earthquake-stricken areas of China. However, a month earlier, there have been a series of abnormal signs observed in the regions of Beijing and, well, all these provinces. Based on such signs, the state seismological bureau had correctly concluded that a significant earthquake could be expected between July 22, 1976 and August the 5th. However, the precursory phenomenon differed from those of other earthquakes because of the scattered distribution of the signals. There was no determination of location where this earthquake would strike. Well, one thing from satellite, you can tell if they're coming, if it's coming out of the earthquake faults, you know, the gas situation, you know. But in that case, there was well water that was rising and falling, and there were animals making noises, and there was signs of cracking, you know, in their wells and different things, possibly potholes and whatever kind of stuff like that. And that was a really bad one. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you, we know these judgments are coming, but we just ask you to be merciful even in these judgments, Lord. And we do ask, too, that you protect your people who are entitled, even if they're ignorant, they're entitled to a Passover. Lord, please, in the name of Jesus, bless your people and deliver them and move them out of the way for the sake of them one day being strong Christians. Because you see the end from the beginning, Lord. And we thank you for ordaining your elect from the foundation of the world, knowing what you're going to create there. And for that purpose, you have saved many people alive, not because they're good, but because of what you're going to do with their life. And we thank you for doing that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, saints, for joining us. And please take your prayer life seriously. Please do spiritual warfare against these enemies. And we're going to continue to see victory as we do that.